The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All I want from my end is $8,000.
What I'm saying to you is you should give it to somebody that don't know any better, because that's a fugazi. All right?
That's a fugazi? How do you know it's a fugazi? You looked at it for 2 seconds.
It's a fake.
See, people should go to the movies more often. Then they would know what a fugazi is. They would know that last night we saw the fugazi accept his party's nomination. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Fake diamonds were called fugazis in the movie Donnie Brasco. Now, maybe I watched too many movies, especially movies of that nature. But, you know, fugazi was a made-up word. There's no such word. Amongst that level of society, if there's a fake diamond, it was called a fugazi. How many years do I have to tell you you're watching a fugazi in action in the Democrat Party? It's unbelievable to me. So today we're going to talk about the fugazi in chief in the White House and the ComCon that occurred this week, the Communist Convention. It's astounding that the people don't even know what they're watching because of the naivete of the American voter. You're watching and you're listening to a man who is a naked dictator. The man is an oligarch in his own mind, and he believes he should be a supreme ruler without anyone interfering with his belief system. And the reason is because he's so good. Here in San Francisco, for example, the roads were empty last night. I was stunned after the program. I walked out in the streets. The car, it looked like a nuclear bomb had exploded, like a neutron bomb. There wasn't a car on the road. All of the Kool-Aid drinkers were home waiting for the great speech from the man who came to us from 1984, Barack Hussein Obama. What's astounding to me is that everything we ever learned when we were young and being taught by liberals about what would happen when a totalitarian regime arrived is happening under Obama, and the very liberals who warned us about it are cheering him. Do you notice that, how crazy that is? The best article of the whole week was by Michael Goodwin in the New York Post of today, where he writes, "Dems, dear leader, plotting our grim future." I generally don't read any other person's stuff. I got to read you this paragraph or two. He says, "The system is rigged. America is unjust. Opportunity is dead. You didn't build that. Damn it, where's mine? Oh, and Republicans are the people who rigged the system. They're trying to take away your rights to vote, to health care, to education, to housing. They hate women, gays, and immigrants. They don't pay their fair share and they're un-American. Barack Obama lights candles. Mitt Romney spreads darkness. And Osama bin Laden is dead. There, I saved you the time of watching the Democratic Convention. For 3 grating days, demands for more government spending were coupled with sweeping character assassinations of Romney. The GOP is not wrong, it is immoral. You don't agree? You're not patriotic. It turns out that the party that left God out of its platform has a religious zeal for its leader. We believe in Barack Obama," Senator John Kerry thundered to uproarious applause. "Folks, we've entered dear leader territory. The wild, outlandish claims that America is corrupt, Republicans are supervillains, and Obama is a superhero were made by every speaker over 3 raucous nights. A president, a first lady, a former president, a sitting vice president, top members of Congress, labor leaders, celebrities, fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, blacks, whites, Latinos, all stayed on the scorched earth message softened only by homilies to Obama. Something shocking is happening to the Democratic Party. Its committed adherents are whipping themselves into a frenzy of grievance that justifies seeing their fellow Americans as both evil and a free cash machine. Obama did not single-handedly create this mad orgy, but he lit the match and shows the way. On this, he is a true leader, a transformative one. His invocation of FDR is not unwarranted, even as his channeling of Lincoln's pain smacked of cheesy self-reverence. When he says voters will face the clearest choice of any time in a generation, he understates the fact. The two paths are a twain that shall never meet. His rhetorical skills, uncompromising ambition, and 1,000-watt smile were on full display last night, unfortunately in service to a vision that would surely bankrupt America. Instead of a guarantee of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, our culture would be reshaped by a growing collectivist power vested in the state that would command ever more resources and control. The claim of leveling the playing field is in reality a plan to control the outcome. As famously promised, the financial crisis has not been wasted. The recession lingers for many families. Unemployment remains stuck at a destructive level. The deficit soars. We borrow nearly $3 billion a day, $20 billion a week, $1 trillion a year. These are serious problems to most mortals, but for him, they are rich opportunities to expand the reach of Washington. The soaring debt is not soaring enough, so more treasure must be thrown into the bonfire of his vanities. It is a fire consuming the future under the guise of fairness. This is not mere class warfare. That's just a tactic. The goal, as it always has been for his kind throughout history, is to accumulate power that the elite can wield without accountability or checks and balances. Give the man his due. We have not seen his like in our times. His charisma and political skills are unmatched. If only they were admirably used. Obama promised to unite the country, and his lie exposed is now determined to win re-election by any means necessary. He may succeed. Beware, America, the wraps have come off. Obama is unbound, and the delegates in the convention hall went home in full revolutionary spirit. They don't want to unite America. They want to conquer it. Barack Obama did build that. That's from Michael Goodwin's incredible article in the New York Post today, which I linked up on michaelsavage.com. Today we can talk about the vision that these Democrats have for a totalitarian state, a one-party system. We can talk about the Fugazi in the White House from the movie Donnie Brasco. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. And on a more educational, serious note, maybe boring, shall I explain to you the Electoral College? It's perhaps the most Byzantine system ever invented. Should we eliminate the Electoral College? Do you think the Electoral College is outdated, or should the U.S. keep it? Many of you don't even know what it is. Many of you don't even know that you don't elect your president. Many of you don't know that, in fact, there's an Electoral College that elects the president. Many of you don't know that every state is not equal. Many of you don't know that some states have a certain number based upon a certain number of senators and House of Representative members. Others can divide this up and split it between the candidates. In other cases, it's a winner-take-all, which means that the candidate with the most votes receives all the state's electoral votes. I can explain all of this to you, or we can talk about it if you'd like. It's something that you may have learned in high school, but it's never been the popular vote. And the reason the Founding Fathers didn't make it a popular vote is because they envisioned a time when the country would be overrun by illegal aliens who simply wanted benefits, by government workers who simply wanted benefits, who would pack into the coastal cities. And if it was done by popular vote, only a few coastal cities in a few coastal states would determine the outcome, and the vast middle ground of America would have no say whatsoever in who got elected. That's why the Electoral College was created. But you didn't learn that on the college campus when they were teaching you how to put a condom on a cucumber and how to sleep with your sorority sister. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're open for business. Let's take our first call of the day. Joe, New York, WOR. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Joe?
Dr. Savage, I was told as a rookie cop in the NYPD that the word Fugazi was a combination of the F word and hazy. I asked
well, according to the, I don't know, according to the IMDb website, they claim it was an invented word, but you would know better than the mere screenwriter.
Well, invented, yes. It's a combination of two words, but the NYPD kind of acts as a time capsule for New York phrases that sometimes...
Well, let me ask you something. Do they say Fugazi or Fugazi? Because, you know, it's like, you know, you say tomato, I say tomato. Does it depend upon which part of New York you're from?
I've always heard of it as Fugazi.
And would you say Obama? Would you say would you say Obama's a Fugazi or a Fugazi?
He would be a multi-Fugazi.
I knew that people would like this one. Oh, God. Yep, fake diamonds. Fake diamonds. Every girl likes a fake diamond. One of the bloggers was looking at the Democratic convention, and he wrote something. And I'm not saying I said that. Don't get me wrong. Well, I can't say it because they 70,000 people signed this a petition to have him removed from writing blogs because he insulted all of the women in the audience by referring to them in the name of a very famous play that was on Broadway for many years. See, when you're young, you say, well, I don't want that electoral college. It should be a popular vote the way it is in Venezuela. That's what we want. We want voting like you have it in China. No, we want popular vote. That's what we want. I got an email, came in the mail, very urgent, possible 2012 U.S. presidential election fraud from a listener who wouldn't tell me who he is, but he says, this is going around the internet. U.S. presidential election fraud in motion. Obama sends voting services to George Soros company in Spain, August 25th, 2012. Spanish company will count American votes overseas in November. Now, I reported this in Trickle Down Tyranny. I know I have it. I had it in the book. Joseph Stalin, the dictator of Russia, said those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. That's nice. That's not alarming to you? Okay. Fugazis, we're in business on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to take your calls on, is Obama, what kind of, is it Fugazi or Fugazi, number one? That's like saying, is it, we were doing this 2 weeks ago about sauces, right? We called it a tomato. What did you call it, a sauce or a gravy? A sauce or a gravy? Is Obama a Fugazi or a Fugazi? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Let me ask you something. How do you feel about the fact that a Spanish company will count American votes overseas in November? How do you feel about the fact there will be no paper trail to even check? How do you feel about the fact that the Obama government has outsourced the counting of votes for the 2012 election to a Spanish company that is in partners with George Soros? How do you feel that knowing that this company, the software, has now been sold to a company named SCYTL, owned by George Soros, headquartered in Spain? How come we're having a situation where there's no traceable record of how many and what votes were scored? How come we're finding out that this company, SCYTL, is shadow-owned by Peter Vallis, a former CEO of GlobalNet, who is a maximum-level contributor to the Obama campaign? And Vallis is also contacted with Media Matters, a communication consortium owned by George Soros. How come this is allowed to stand? How come the American people are like bunny rabbits who don't even ask if the integrity of their vote is guaranteed, since their votes will be transmitted in digital form with no paperwork backup to check for discrepancies? How come the American people are not arguing that this should not go on? How is it that this doesn't invite dishonest practices such as beginning the voting day with counts that were not reset to zero? Or how about the practice of switching within the software votes from one candidate to another? Will Harry Reid's re-election in Nevada, which was seen to be fraudulent, serve as a template for Obama in 2012? Why did this country outsource a job that goes to the very core of our constitutional process to an outside organization? Why did the Democrats fight voter ID laws? Well, that would mark the beginning of the end of voter fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, with the beginning of the motor voter law under Janet Sterno and the electronic voting machine, and now turning it over to a Spanish company owned by George Soros, the illegitimate left has literally continued to steal elections right beneath our noses. So what do we do about it? I don't know. How come it hasn't been mentioned by any of the Republicans? How is this possible? Who in Washington authorized a global software company owned by a Spanish socialist to be put in charge of counting American votes? Why is a company that is based in Spain, which counts votes in Athens, Greece, now teaming up with the Commonwealth of Virginia to count the overseas ballots of our military members? Who in the Department of Defense and the Congress approved this? Our republic is literally being pulled out from under our feet. Why? I don't know why. We know we have a corrupt machine in Obama, but where are the Republicans on this? As Thomas Jefferson often warned, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Do you have enough vigilance? Joseph Stalin warned us, those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. Now George Soros has been silent during this Democrat communist fest, was not seen anywhere even though he's the puppet master. How is that possible? How is any of this possible? Is the election predetermined? Is that why the Republicans are so defeated? Do they look defeated? Do they sound defeated? Have they act defeated? Why have the Republicans permitted one radical leftist moderator after another, one Ambien-infused lunatic after another, to become the so-called moderators of the debate between Obama and Romney? One Ambien or other drug-induced moderator from the left after another, not one conservative. How did this happen to our country? What are we going to do about it? Well, nothing. Nothing. There's nothing you could do about it. I think we are no longer a republic. I think we're a banana republic. But if you care to talk about it, you can. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Fake diamonds were called fugazis in the movie Donnie Brasco. I think the election is a fugazi. What do you think? Larry in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I want to make a couple of observations about the convention. First of all, Michelle Obama was referring to her husband continuously as Barack, and I think that that's unprecedented. I even Hillary never referred to Bill before to Clinton as Bill before a national audience, nor any other first lady.
Well, all right, ever. So she was trying to humanize him because he tends to be somewhat robotic and distant. So she's showing he's a friendly father husband. That's not so odd, but I mean his real name is Barry. What if she called him Barry? It wouldn't have had the same power as Barack, right? That was appealing to certain people who speak Hebrew.
Savage.
Well, we're talking about not a medical condition, but a political condition called electoral dysfunction on the Savage Nation. And while there is a little blue pill for the former, there doesn't seem to be an easy fix for the latter. And I believe electoral dysfunction will plague us through this election and beyond. And that's for a number of reasons. One, because we have illegal aliens voting, which is why the Democrats fight like heck to make certain there's no voter ID law. Now, you needed voter ID to get into the communist convention this week in wherever they held it, in Charlotte. You needed three forms of identification to get in the door. But you don't need identification to vote. Go figure that one out. Obviously, there's a clear answer to that. And the reason that the illegitimate are demanding that the other illegitimate don't need ID so the illegitimate can stay in office. But the thing is, electoral dysfunction goes beyond mere partisanship. I've disclosed to you on the show before, when Trickle-Down Tyranny first came out, that a Spanish company is counting the votes. No one paid attention. Huge deal. Monster deal should be in the front of every newspaper. But because Michael Savage is the most hated man in the American media, even though he continues to write best-selling books, he doesn't exist. This is how it worked in the ex-Soviet Union. They didn't necessarily assassinate individuals. First, they started by not talking about him. He didn't exist. He was the unmentionable. Now, this goes for the conservative media as well as the liberal media. You never heard Rush mention Michael's name. Even though I'm the only person in the media banned in Britain, not once did Rush mention it. Certainly, you wouldn't expect it from Wallbanger because he doesn't even have the brains to mention it. But you'd expect the leader of the conservative radio world, a man who calls himself Al Rushbore, to have mentioned it, but he doesn't. Has Al Rushbore mentioned the fact that in Trickle-Down Tyranny, Michael disclosed that a Spanish company is counting the votes? No, because Al Rushbore is only interested in himself. And, you know, there's another point to this story beside my getting nasty, which is something I've noticed and heard from others inside the whole system. I was told today by a higher up that everybody on the conservative side hates everybody else. Nobody likes anybody. Everybody puts everyone down all the time behind the scenes. And I said, yep, the left is united, the right is divided. I'm telling you, that's how it is. For some reason, the communists, socialists, and anarchists line up behind each other. They never, ever say anything negative about each other. You notice that? And the answer is really clear, because we conservatives are more free-spirited. We're not as bound by a party. You know, this is how the Communist Party used to work. Nobody dared step out of line in the old communist days. If they did, they were ejected from the party. This is what the Democrats are today. That's why there's total unity behind our dear leader, because he is, in essence, the equivalent of a communist leader. Nobody dare say one word out of line, or they get thrown out of the Communist Party, which today is called the Democrat Party, by the way. There's no difference. It's just on a minor scale. Well, anyway, here we are. The roads were empty last night as all of the people in San Francisco were rushing home to listen to the Fugazi speech. Today we can talk about electoral dysfunction, if you wish. I can explain the Electoral College, but it's quite boring. Do you think we should dump the Electoral College? What is it? No one even knows. You probably didn't go to high school. I mean, if you went to high school, you probably don't even learn it anymore, what it is. Why don't we have a popular vote in this country? We have a popular vote for House, the House and for the Senate. So why is there no popular vote for the president? The fact of the matter is we don't elect the president or vice president directly. Instead, our votes elect electors who make up the Electoral College. Now, how is this? How do you figure out who they are? And these electors, not to be confused with the medical disorder, these electors make up the Electoral College, where there's a lot of dysfunction. The electors cast votes for the candidates on our behalf. Now, how many are there in each state? Well, each state's number of electors, hang on now, I know you're already buzzing off to another channel. Each state's number of electors is determined by adding its number of senators to its number of representatives. I just lost half the audience. Every state has, I know it, I'm a former high school teacher, then I was a college teacher. I have such good timing. I know that half of you wanted to turn the station off. The minute I mentioned how you're calculating the Electoral College, it was like, oh, tell us about the Chinese food you ate. Tell us about Teddy. Tell us about your boat. Tell us about your lips sticking together. Please, anything but this. Each state's number of electors is determined by adding its number of senators to its number of representatives. So I'll finish this quickly. So every state has two senators. That you can follow, right? And the number of representatives varies based on population. So every state is not equal. So California, for example, very populous, has two senators and 53 representatives for a total of 55 electoral votes. That's something even a Democrat who signs a check on the back can follow, right? So what about states with small populations? For example, let's go to another state. New York has 31 electoral votes. I don't know how that figures, but they only have 31 electoral votes. That's 2 senators and 29 representatives. I don't know why. They should have more, I think. But McCain didn't get any credit for the 2.5 million votes he received in New York, because nearly all states are winner-take-all. This means the candidate with the most votes receives all the state's electoral votes. Maine and Nebraska are the only exceptions to the winner-take-all system, and I don't want to go into it because it gets too complicated. But I've given you the rudiments of what the Electoral College is, and it's in our Constitution, by the way. Now, why were the Founding Fathers, who were the really geniuses, why did they perceive that an Electoral College would be important years down the road? Because they realized that mobs of people tend to congregate in coastal cities, and you therefore would have a few coastal cities, New York, Los Angeles, for example, Miami, name another city or two, determining the outcome of the election if it was based on the popular vote. But since we are a republic that consists of a number of states, that beyond the Hudson River there are people who actually have two eyes, two legs, two hands, two lungs, and they have lives and they vote. They all don't live on the Upper East Side and wear Manalo shoes, but they are human beings, believe it or not. The women west of the Hudson River are actual human beings. And they also want their votes to count. And so because there is an electoral college, Women without Manalo shoes west of the Hudson now have representation through the electoral dysfunction of our system. Not bad, really. It's pretty good. No one could have done what I just did. I'm in a sweat already. So that's it. There's nothing more to be said. I've covered the waterfront for the day. Can we move on? Can we have fun? Can we just have fun? Boys just want to have fun on the Savage Nation. We have good stuff for you today. We have sound that I'm not going to play. We have Obama. I'll play Obama in clip 14 just for a break. Go ahead.
Madam Chairwoman, delegates,
no,
I accept your nomination for president of the United States.
I'm so humble. Why does he sound so arrogant at everything he does? The man doesn't have a humble gene in his entire DNA. It's unbelievable to me. But don't say that to anyone in San Francisco. You're liable to get arrested. The Fugazi city is liable to have you arrested if you even demand that there be a Republican somewhere in the state of California. They think it should be illegal to have a two-party system in this state. We have the most corrupt state in the country, a one-party system that's being run into the third world by Jerry Brown and the illegitimi, ranging from Sacramento to San Francisco. They've just approved a railroad to nowhere. A railroad to nowhere. The state is completely busted out. Busted out. They approved a railroad to nowhere. Nobody knows why. You have to be a genius. It's like the subway from nowhere to nowhere in San Francisco. Billions of dollars in contracts. Ding, ding. What do we need a subway for? We have buses and quaint little trolley car, whatever they're called. I wish they'd get rid of them, frankly. I know you don't want to hear it. Every time I drive to work, I get stopped at a cable car crossing. And I got to Ricerone myself in the car with the ding-ding and the brake man. I have to sit there and tap my foot and sit and wait for the guy with the brakes. It's horrible. It's a nightmare. But it's for the tourists, I understand. Ricerone, the ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. But the fact of the matter is they're very charming. And every once in a while, the brakes fail and they shoot right down to the... That hasn't happened in a while. Quite a nice system. Of course, with the development of the electric car, there's no need for the trolley car. And with the development of the internal combustion engine, there was less of a need for the cable car, rather. But, all right, without that, there'd be no Tony Martin. And where would we be today? Tony Bennett, where would we be today? I left. As I said to you yesterday, I had a very interesting day in the city I love more than anything on earth. I don't like going anywhere. I went to the top of Telegraph Hill, and I'm looking for my notes. And I went to see the house, the building, rather, where Humphrey Bogart crawls up the Filbert Street steps. You know, remember that movie Dark Passage, where he's wrapped in bandages, a surgeon changes his face? And then he's escaping, and he climbs up a long wooden stairwell. Well, that's the Filbert Street steps, which I've walked many a time. And it ends at a certain beautiful Art Deco building up there. And I went to visit it yesterday. Pretty beautiful, amazing. Looks better than it did 70 years ago, if you can believe it. Really still amazing. Trees grew in. The birds of Telegraph Hill still fly around up there. So here we are. The SEIU was well represented at the convention. That's the Spanish Employment Intimidation Union. We saw our president, who was really not our first black president, but our first bleak president. And today we're talking about electoral dysfunction on the Savage Nation. New York, WOR, Paul, should we dump the Electoral College?
Yes, that's what I have to bring up. That has to be saved.
Why are you talking through like a mouthpiece of some kind?
Oh, I'm on a cell phone. Sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you. If I can't hear you, the audience hung up. They went to listen to the guy who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia on the other station in New York. So I can't keep you on. Yeah, how did that guy get into radio with a voice like that? You know, unbelievable. I mean, if it wasn't for a Russian wall banger, you know what he'd be doing? He'd be chasing ambulances. You know, that's the beauty of being a conservative, is that everyone criticizes each other. Liberals never criticize each other. It's very true. Why don't we have Marines, retired Marines, outside voting booths with sidearms to counter the Black Panthers that Obama is likely to send around America to intimidate voters? He doesn't have to do that anymore. What does he have to intimidate you for? He gave it to George Soros' front company to count the votes. That's like assuming you're going to win at Aqueduct. That's like going to Las Vegas and think you're going to come home a winner. You know what I'm saying? Forget about it. They made a decision already. It's a fugazi. It's the 1919 World Series. They made a decision who's winning. The sheeple know already what they're going. They think their vote counts. Yeah, right. Yeah, all right. That's it. That's let's pray that we have a benevolent dictator in power. He's not going to be a benevolent dictator. You see, that's what the liberals keep wanting, is a benevolent dictator. And they think Obama's the benevolent dictator they've all wanted all these years. What they don't know is no dictator is benevolent when he has absolute power. But that's a lesson that you can't teach them. They're going to have to live through it themselves. When they go to the butcher shop and there's one salami hanging there in 10 years from now, when they're eating potato skins for dinner, when they can no longer order a double frappuccino with beans from the 5,000-foot level in Guatemala, when they can't order a macchiato and wait 12 minutes to hear the foam on the top of their coffee, they'll be glad to be drinking bitter root. Dandelion root coffee is what they're going to have had 10 years from now if this keeps up. I'll have a dandelion frappiato, please. So here we are. I'm having a good time. I mean, it's over. I feel liberated. I should take a vacation now. Right now. I really should. It's time. I really should take a vacation. I'm exhausted now. What's this now? It's on Drudge. New Jersey town overrun by anti-Semitic graffiti. Manalapan, New Jersey, part of an area that's home to tens of thousands of Jewish families, was under siege this week as swastikas were found painted in red all over mailboxes, street signs, cable boxes, and picket fences. Our cameras saw images of one fence adorned with a giant killer Jews painted in red. People living here for decades say they've never seen anything like this hate attack. All right, so who's going to find them? The FBI is busy making certain that the returning veterans are not a threat to Janet Napolitano. Otherwise, the FBI would be all over this. But I think they're interviewing the woman who said kill Romney. They need the entire bureau to interview her to make certain what to say to make sure that nothing happens to her. Just 10 days before the holidays, New Jersey community woke up to find swastikas and anti-Jew. Who did it? Who knows who did it? I have no idea. How could you know who did this? So, where are the cameras on a thing like this? One guy once said something. Instead of whining about it and crying, just remember what Meir Kahan said. Every Jew at 22. That's all. That would put a stop to it. That's all. Instead of whining and screaming, well, who's doing it? Say, every Jew at 22 and take your son to a martial arts class. Because one day it may come in handy. You'll be surprised. It's good to have the Bible in one hand and a fist in the other. If anything, if the Israelis have taught the Jewish people anything, you know what it is? Have one eye on heaven and the other eye on an Uzi. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are talking about the Fugazi president, and we're talking about the electoral dysfunction in the United States of America, where we just learned, you just learned for the first time, you didn't read Trickle-Down Tyranny when it came out a few months ago, that our votes are not counted in America. They were outsourced to Spain, to a company owned by one of the largest bundlers and supporters of Obama, the very, very dangerous George Soros. Sacramento, Ted, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, listening to you talk about foreign-owned voting machines and voting contracts reminded me of the Dubai port deal. And Schumer agreed with you and was in days of your announcing.
Yeah, right. That's a very interesting point. I single-handedly stopped the Dubai ports deal, and I had a liberal senator on at the time who agreed with me, Charles Schumer. But if he wouldn't agree with me now, Ted, because the Democrats want a rigged voting system. That's why he wouldn't agree with me now. But I'm glad you brought up the Dubai ports deal. It's why I was banned in Britain, because the big Arab money went to friends in the Bush administration. As you remember, the Bush administration attacked me for it. They called me racist. You don't remember that. You don't want to hear it. And the Bush administration, in cahoots with the let us say, people in the Democrat Party, went to England and had me banned in England for having the audacity to point out to America that we shouldn't permit the good people from Dubai to control our ports because security was too much of a risk. Because it cost somebody a lot of money, I was banned from entering Britain. Big story. And here's a side story to see what kind of Soviet system we're living in today. You want to hear it? Wikipedia, as you well know, is a fraudulent encyclopedia. It's sort of invented, and we all go to it. The entry on the Michael Savage, I have one person who keeps trying to correct the truth, but the Soviets, that is the communists, that is the liberals, that is the Democrats, have at least 99 people who attack my site every time he makes a correction. For example, when he re-enters that Michael Savage single-handedly stopped the Dubai ports deal, they take it out of there. They don't want anyone to know it. In other words, they revise my history the way the Soviets did to individuals that they wanted to destroy in their country. Now you understand why I'm not allowed on any channel, any television station, why Michael Savage is an unknown individual in America, except to his millions of listeners, and why this show is number two on the internet and radio. Number two. Number two, number two, number two, number two, number two. And why I have six bestsellers in a row, because somehow the truth is getting out. But I'm warning you about Wikipedia. If Wikipedia doesn't stop these 99 Democrat, liberal, Soviets from modifying things that are true, then how can you rely upon a website that's so fraudulent? You can't. You can't. But I can't fight every battle every day. You understand that? Doug Lynn does the best he can. We'll be back in a moment on the Savage Nation right after the news, the traffic, the weather, the price of gasoline, the price of electricity. To talk more about electoral dysfunction in the United States of America, I can't say I have the answer. If you had the other kind, the medical problem, you know the answer. But the problem is, see, the problem with the other kind, the medical dysfunction, is that if it lasts more than 36 hours, you can see a doctor and they can do something about it. But we've had electoral dysfunction for more than 36 years in the United States of America, and thus far no one's done anything about the electoral dysfunction. So where's the doctor who's going to come in on a white horse and save America from this painful, painful electoral dysfunction that we are suffering from? I don't know, and I can't offer you any hope.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about electoral dysfunction in the United States of America today with the Fugazi in the White House. Anything is possible. Many of you don't even understand that it's true. You don't believe it's true because it didn't come from one of the fraud artists at the New York Times. So therefore, just because I have a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley, just because I've written 28 books, just because I have an audience of 8 to 10 or more million people, that doesn't matter. What matters is someone on Ambien didn't tell it to you. Who knows how to make wins or not. But the fact of the matter is, U.S. presidential election fraud is in high probability mode. Why do I say that? Because Obama, with the stroke of a pen, as I pointed out in my best-selling book, Trickle Down Tyranny, you ready for this? You're not hearing it from Thomas the Fraud Friedman. You're hearing it from Michael the Wit Savage. He gave the counting of our votes to a George Soros-owned company in Spain. Look it up if you think I'm making it up. S-C-Y-T-L, shadow owned by Peter Per Valles, V-A-L-L-E-S, former CEO of GlobalNet, maximum level contributed to the Obama campaign in 2008, deep contacts with the left-wing smear group Media Matters, a communications consortium wholly owned by George Soros, who, as you well know, wants to control the world and probably already does in many ways. Now, how can a company that is located in Spain, owned by George Soros, be trusted to verify the results of American elections when votes are transmitted in digital form with no paperwork to check for discrepancies. How is this possible? There will be no ballots, no physical evidence, no chain of responsibility, no way for we the public to authenticate who actually cast the votes, no chain of custody or the account. How about beginning the voting day with counts that were not reset to zero? How about switching within the software votes from one candidate to another? How about Harry Reid's reelection in Nevada? Was that a template for Barack Obama's reelection in 2012? Why did Obama outsource a job that goes to the core of our constitutional process to an outside organization? Why did the Democrats fight voter ID laws when they demanded three forms of ID to get into the hall of mirrors in wherever it was, Charlotte? Ladies and gentlemen, between the motor voter law under Janet Sterno and the electronic voting machine and the ownership of our voting counting by SCYTL, we have become not a republic, but a banana republic. You think I'm making it up? Check it out. It's all on the internet. It's all verifiable, just as is this saying from Joseph Stalin, the mass murderer of Russia. Those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. Thank you, George Soros. You're a real wonderful immigrant to the United States of America. You've made America proud of the word immigrant. You've done so much to advance democracy in so many places. Then why don't you advance it here in America? 1-800-449-8255. Rick in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Michael, I'm absolutely and completely shocked. I had no idea. I work all the time, so I don't get a chance very often to listen to your show, although I relish it. I'm completely confounded.
I know.
Because it's
actually true. It's too much for anyone to actually grasp and to believe that this is happening, because you say, surely I would have read it in the New York Times. But why haven't you read it in the Stalinist Times? Because they want it.
I don't read the Times. It's a liberal rag. I don't read it.
I'm going to send you something you can read at your leisure. Trickle Down Tyranny, Chapter 2, Tyranny of a Naked Marxist President, page 25. The most corrupt administration in our history. I try to warn America, but because I'm the most reviled man in the American media, nobody took me seriously. Now, the book did make it to the New York Times bestseller list, despite the fact that I'm banned from Fox News because of the jealousy of Wallbanger and the Leprechaun. But listen to what I wrote on page 25. Did you hear that the Obama administration has sold the rights to processing our election results to a private company? That this critical component of free elections will now be handled not by individual precincts, but by a company over which we will have little control. SOE, a U.S. election. Oh, I don't want to read it all to you. It's in my book. Go and read it. Page 25. It's filled with footnotes so you can check out the original sources. Did you know any of this? You didn't know any of it. You thought you knew everything. That's because you watched Jon Stewart, so you thought you know everything. That's because you watch Bill Maher, you thought you knew everything. But you know nothing. If you're watching these stooges who are nothing but front men for the Marxist gangsters running this country, you know nothing. You know nothing. You're useful idiots. You're the useful idiots that Lenin told you about. But I don't want to feel bad. I want to feel good. It's Friday. TGIF. I want to have a good time. This week I had a wonderful mystical experience at a Jewish wedding that I told everyone about. Actually, we should replay that. It was one of the high points of my year. It was almost like God's hand itself. I will play it in this hour. I'll tell you what, it was so important, because the war memorial to the D-Day dead, astounding how it was 10 feet away from an Orthodox Jewish wedding ceremony. I couldn't believe how this came together. You have to have somewhat of a mystical streak to understand why I got excited about it. But that's it. Hey, by the way, I'm a boater, and I'm searching for a part to my boat, a Raymarine Raystar 125 Plus new antenna. Can't find them. Out of stock. I need an antenna. They're only $300-$400, and no one has them. I waited 3 weeks for this part from England. They told me today it won't come until November. If anybody out there has a Raymarine Raystar 125 Plus antenna for sale, call my screener at 1-800-449-8255. I need a Raymarine Raystar 125 GPS antenna. That's all. It's not talking to my equipment properly. I have to manually input my stabilizer information. I love instruments. See, even when electronics fail, if you can, if you know the codes of the other equipment, you can run the other equipment on manual. It's very, very all-consuming. It's wonderful. It's fabulous. And then the fins go up, and they adjust according to the speed of the boat. It's an interesting whole thing. I love technology and equipment as far as I can handle it, by the way. I mean, I'm no expert at it. But now I need a new antenna, and I can't get it. They're out of stock around the world. No one has. I don't understand how they go out of stock of a thing like this. So if you bought one and you have it in the back of your store, I'll take it. Just don't soak me. What would you like to talk about? The electoral dysfunction? Is it funny? I can't stop saying electoral dysfunction. Because I think it's very funny. And it's so open to jokes that I'm sure it'll be stolen before the evening is out. I'm sure one of the drug addicts on MTV will use it as though it's his own. And kind of blame it on Romney. If not, blame it on Nixon. Blame it all on Bush, Nixon, or Romney. New York, W-O. What is this New York today all of a sudden? Flooded with New York. Why everything in New York? Why am I getting so many calls out of W-O? Where they stop listening to the Fugazi on ABC? Greg in New York, welcome to the welcome to the Savage Nation.
Election is a bad idea, Dr. The Electoral College needs to stay in place. We cannot have a constitutional convention called to amend the Constitution to eliminate the Electoral College.
That's right, but the liberals have wanted to eliminate the Electoral College for at least 50 years. You know that, don't you?
A very long time, because they think it's an obsolete system based on the days when horse and buggies were used to gather the votes together and tabulate who actually won an election.
Well, hey, the Constitution is considered obsolete by Ruth Bader Ginsburg also. She looks to the European Constitution as our model, not that clumsy American Constitution. It hasn't served her well enough, where an ordinary woman like her can go from running a left-wing organization as a legal counsel with the ACLU and become a Supreme Court justice. She hates the country that let a woman of her low mentality and her low personality rise to such a high place. Look, don't get me started on these evil left-wingers. To me, they're evil. Anyone who wants to tear up my Constitution is my enemy. That's how I see it. And the Democrats want to get rid of the Electoral College because they want mob rule. That's exactly what they want.
And we cannot have that. Too many people have come to rely on government for their the solution to their problems. The past.
No, wait a minute. Now, that's un-American what you just said. According to Obama, government is the solution, not the problem. In fact, Obama's working as fast as he can to expand government intrusion into our lives. In fact, Obama said there is no community other than government. He sounded just like a mini Mao Tse-tung, but the people are so dumbed down in America, they didn't even know what they were listening to. They were listening to Mao Tse-tung on that platform, giving us a dear leader speech. He could have been Kim Jong-il. That's what we saw last night. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Yep. They're going to get no bounce. They're going to get a dip from that convention. If you took a look at it, it was the most anti-American, pro-communist convention in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like it. Everything about that convention was about grievances, resentment, hatred, and I want and give me. That's all it was. Everything was, it was a hate fest disguised as a love fest. And maybe the American people who watched it saw something they didn't like. You had an ex-Michigan governor who went insane on the podium, and that was the best part of it. It went downhill from there. Obama, the demigod, falls to earth, says Dana Milbank. Dollar drops after grim jobs report. Oh, Clint Eastwood was interviewed in the a little newspaper down there. He said Obama is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people. Right? Where do you think the Fugazi came from? Eastwood says his convention appearance was mission accomplished in the Carmel pine cone, if you haven't seen it yet. He was ripped to shreds by Lilliputians on the left and Lilliputians in ugly suits, ripped them apart. Now, here's a man they revered the day before, but because he dared attack their dear leader, Mao Tse Obama, they went insane. They ripped him apart. One of America's greatest actors, directors, an icon, The man performed in a way, I told you, to live on long after this reign of terror that we've been living through in America is gone, long after the reign of terror in the news business is over, long after the reign of terror in the media is over, people will recognize that Clint Eastwood's appearance was one of the greatest pieces of political performance art ever seen. So Eastwood said that Obama is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people. Romney and Ryan would do a much better job running the country, and that's what everybody needs to know. I may have irritated a lot of the lefties, but I was aiming for people in the middle. So the leftists hated him for daring to take on Dear Leader. Everyone else saw that the man did something brilliant. And by the way, the thing with the chair was completely made up at the last moment. He made it up on the moment. He said, I understand what performance art is. He didn't go out there with a script. That's why they couldn't take it. All of these fraudulent leftists who say, think outside the box, let's be wild and crazy. When they see an actual artist get up there and do something that's real performance art, they don't understand that it's true. They're so used to Fugazis that when they see a real diamond performing, they are blinded by the light and they call it a Fugazi. That's why today's show is dedicated to the word Fugazi from the movie Donnie Brasco. Early Thursday morning, when Eastwood left San Jose Airport on a private jet headed for Florida, he was still making up his mind what he would do. And even with his appearance just a few hours away, all Eastwood could tell Romney's campaign manager was to reassure them that everything I would say would be nice about Mitt Romney. It was only after a quick nap in his hotel room. See, I do the same thing. A few blocks from the, not with him. I'm saying I take a nap before a show. It was only after a quick nap in his hotel room for a few blocks from the convention. Eastwood said that he mapped out his remarks. I do too. A nap gives me my map. If I don't sleep before a show, I don't do a good show. The reason my show is so good today is because I took a nap. I woke up. I didn't know where I was. Then my mind starts to put things together. I'm a performance artist in that regard. Starting with his observation about politics in Hollywood, then challenging the president about the failure of his economic policies, and wrapping up by telling the public they don't have to worship politicians like they were royalty or something. But even then, with just an hour before he appeared on stage, it still hadn't occurred to Clint to use an empty chair as a stand-in for the president. I got to the convention site just 15 or 20 minutes before I was scheduled to go on. That was fine because everything was very well organized. After a quick trip through airport-style security, he was taken to a green room where Archbishop Dolan of New York sought him out to say hello. Good for him. Then he was taken backstage to wait for his cue, and that was when inspiration struck. This is what struck the liberals. They could not stomach a real artist. So he goes on and says, there was a stool there, and some fella kept asking me if I wanted to sit down, Eastwood said. When I saw the stool sitting there, it gave me the idea. I'll just put the stool out there, and I'll talk to Mr. Obama and ask him why he didn't keep all the promises he made to everybody. He asked a stagehand to take the stool out to the lectern while he was being announced. The guy said, you mean you want it at the podium? And I said, no, just put it right there next to it. Then with the theme song from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly as a musical intro and a huge picture of him as Josie Wales as the backdrop, Eastwood walked out to tremendous applause. The audience was super enthusiastic, and it's always great when they're with you instead of against you. Anyway, he did it. The guy did it. He did a great job. I was stunned at how good it was. And the liberals who pretend to love spontaneity, the liberals who pretend to love on the natch, the libs who pretend to love thinking outside the box, ripped him to shreds. 1 hour before, they would have glorified Eastwood. But the minute you step out of line in a communist cell, you ask anyone who knows the Soviet Union and the Communist Party, anyone who criticizes the party is thrown out of the party. Nobody is permitted to step out of line. Which explains, by the way, something I said earlier in the show, which is that conservatives all hate each other. I heard behind the scenes that there's not one conservative who gets along with another. Everyone snipes at everyone behind their back, puts them down. I do it openly. They won't even do it openly. I don't like anybody, and so therefore I tell you that. I find fault with everybody, but I do it because I'm a free spirit. That's how I see it. The liberals never criticize each other because they're communists. That's the communist system. The mark of a free man is a man who can criticize somebody. The mark of a prisoner is somebody who is so trapped within the doxy of his party that he dares not step out of line and say Obama's a Fugazi. You get it? Well, okay, I hope you get it. Never, ever forget your votes don't count. Re-trickle-down tyranny, fool. Savage Nation, it's unbelievable. The country we're living in, it's unbelievable. A Utah mom had people's jaws dropping when she potty trained her twins in the middle of a restaurant. You know how many years ago I told you about liberals doing that in Marin County? How many restaurants I used to walk out of? Usually a middle-aged man, well, guy in his 50s with a ponytail, bald, third wife, young baby. They make you walk. I've seen it at a table myself. No one believed me. Shocked when she saw the incident take place at the Thanksgiving Point Deli in Utah. The mother in question lugged portable potties into the restaurant, placed them on chairs, and sat her children down on them. At first, Decker thought the potties were booster seats. But when the mother stripped off her children's clothes, she realized the twins were going to the bathroom in the middle of the restaurant in front of other diners. No. Yes. Yes. The Spock generation. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Guaranteed Obama voter. Come on. You know and I know. Any woman who potty trains her children in a restaurant is not a conservative. I mean, that's a given. Am I wrong about that? This woman is so into herself. Like, whatever she wants to do, it's like, who cares what you think? It's on the internet now. Today I saw a topper. Myself, I went to the Indian buffet, which I complain about. No, I actually like the Indian buffet because I don't like talking to waiters. I like eating and leaving. I don't even want to ask. Even if it's marginal, it's good. I go in there, I swear to God. Remember I told you they're being driven out of business by the Mexican gardeners who see all you can eat $8.95 and the plates look like they slaughtered an animal. They keep stacking up the bones. I don't blame the gardeners. They're poor men. And the Indians are so nice, they don't say to them, I'm sorry, sir, 15 plates is the maximum. No maximum. Well, today was a topper. One of the gardeners brought in his wife, another woman, and two children. And I think they paid for three adult dinners, and they kept getting plates for the children for free. I said, this can't be. Yeah. Well, I said, well, you can eat. Child doesn't count. See, this is what I mean. America is like that to the illegal immigrant. We're a giant all-you-can-eat buffet where you pay nothing and you keep eating. And the white liberal is such a loser that he won't even say, sir, you can't eat here anymore. Or, sir, there are two visits to the table limit. It says all you can eat, right, amigo? So I'll eat all I want. All the welfare, all the education, all the medication, all the legal, whatever, man. You're giving it to me. I'm taking it. But that's our country today. We're like an open buffet being eaten alive like by locusts. I know this is a little different than what you hear from the dear leader, Kim Jong-il Obama. But believe me, when you have 47 million people on food stamps and rising as fast as they can raise it up, and you have an open buffet called the welfare system, and you have a maitre d' called Obama who's saying, come on in, eat all you want. And the people are screaming, we don't have any more food. And he says, you're mean. Pay your fair share. Keep providing the chicken. Keep putting the rice out. How dare you complain that there's not enough food? He's just like Stalin, for God's sakes. But you don't see it. The reason you don't see it is because he's such a good salesman. He's not angry. Never loses his cool. He's a master. He's a master at it. Anyway, that's one man's opinion. Jenny in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage, for speaking with me. I just wanted to tell you that the Raymarine Raystar 125, there's two on eBay right now, very reasonably priced.
I think wait, hold on. Are they new or used?
I believe one was new specifically, and the second one did not specify which way it was. So,
Jenny, I need your email address. I need you to do this for me. I need someone to shop for me. Is that what you want to do?
Be my shop? To be your personal shopper. I would love it.
But wait a minute. You live in Vegas. I live in San Francisco. How does that work?
I actually live in Oregon, but my local station stopped carrying you, so I stream it out of Vegas.
I understand, but would you move to San Francisco to be my shopper?
I wish I could. I would love to.
but your husband wouldn't let you, right?
My husband wouldn't let me. I'm a stay-at-home mom and very traditional, and I got to go where the
man
goes.
Let's not go there. I mean, I'm not even... But, so... I'm not a liberal, honey. So, okay, thank you for the suggestion. I'll look into a personal shopper. That's what I'll do. Thank you. I do need a personal shopper. I had one. He flaked out on me. Now I have a personal dropper. Do you have the any? You know what we should play right now? I tell you. Yesterday I hit some good, some high notes. And I talked about living in San Francisco and experiencing Starbucks and how today's youth treat the world like a college campus. Here's a mother who potty trains her twins in a restaurant in front of everybody while they're eating, gag me with a spoon, right? Who could take this? Who in the world could take a thing like this? Why didn't they throw her out? You know why? Because lawyers would have sued them for discrimination against children and a demented mother. But listen to what I had to say on a related topic, which is not as I didn't mention any of this. No potty training yesterday in clip three. The higher the LQ, that is the higher the liberal quotient, the higher the LQ, the better coffee you can get and the better the food is. It's just a pretty interesting phenomenon. Like if you go across the bay here in San Francisco to Berkeley, they have wonderful food and it's overrun by the most despicable politics in America. But they're all foodies. I don't know. It's something to do with when you reject God and you don't live for the afterlife and you live only for this life, you become an expert on coffee and food. I don't know the exact answer. I'm not a theologian, but if I were forced to write a paper on it, that would be the paper I would write for a sermon. Because it's actually true. In other words, the people who live for the next world and the next life and live for the hereafter, they're actually willing to put up with very slim things in life. And they don't care. You give them a cup of coffee, they're happy. You know, an average meal, they're happy. But here, everything has to be superb and exact, like the ancient Romans or the ancient Greeks. They were experts at food and cuisine and sexual behavior because they didn't believe in the hereafter. They lived in the here and now. I guess that may be a partial answer. If that's not clairvoyant enough for you, I don't know what else what else to say. But it's absolutely true that the higher the LQ, the better the food to be found there, and the higher the LQ, the better the varieties of coffee are. There's no question. I mean, you can get coffee in San Francisco. I almost had a heart attack today waiting in Starbucks before the show for a coffee. I ground my toes into the soles of my shoes. I almost wore my nails out on the counter as Mr. Precious ordered the coffee, and Mr. Precious behind the counter, who will probably last 2 weeks before he has a nervous breakdown and has to go back into rehab. The guy they gave him, you know, part time. It's sad. I don't put the kids down. They work. I know they're struggling. I know they all have master's degrees in poli sci or ethnic studies. Or what else can they get a job other than as a barrister? I don't laugh at them. I've been a busboy. I've been a puppet, a poet, a pauper. You know, I've done it all. So I understand starting jobs are horrible. They're disgusting. But I hustled as a kid. You know why I hustled when I was a waiter or a busboy? Because the captain at the table yelled at me, and he said, move your behind, or I'll fire you. But not today. You go in the Starbucks, it's like watching glue dry, not paint. I don't mean crazy glue. This is slow, like Elmer's glue, which takes 24 hours to harden. Everything they do is in super slow motion. I'm not used to it. I mean, I grew up in New York. I left a long time ago, but I still have a certain pace. Everything is too slow for me. They drive sluggishly. They eat sluggishly. They order sluggishly. They talk sluggishly. But the environment's gorgeous. And then one thing burned me up on the way out. It isn't even my business. See, this is the kind of value system I have. As I'm leaving Starbucks, I see a college girl, like a graduate, sitting there with took over a whole table. Computer, laptop, working away like it's her living room. Not even a cup of coffee. And I muttered to myself, holding my coffee, I muttered, not even a cup of coffee, and she's sitting in this place. They're not even embarrassed to do this. I've seen them come in with lunches from home and sit in Starbucks like they own it with an attitude, eating their little vegetarian sandwiches, which leave them unable to think. No iron, no B6, no calcium in their food. Their brains aren't working properly. But they take over an entire table, and they don't even order a coffee from the establishment. I would have been embarrassed to do that as a kid. I was raised by my mother. She said, if you go in a place, you got to buy something, even if they don't ask you to. Why? Well, she explained to me, there's rent, there's electricity, there's heat, there's taxes. So the guy won't make a living unless you order something. You couldn't even go into an automat and sit there as a kid in New York. You got to go and buy a piece of pie. They made you buy it. But if you had self-respect, you ordered something or they moved you along. But not in the America of today. See, America today is all a giant college campus. It's filled with all of the college grads. And they don't want a jarring experience of reality. They want to come out after 10 years of a college experience. I did it in 4. They did it in 10. They can't get a job. If I couldn't get a job, I took a lower job. I did whatever I had to do. Take 3 jobs. They don't want to be jarred by anything. So, in other words, they jaywalk. They think they're on the campus and you're going to come to a halt for them. They sit in a cafe and they don't order anything because, after all, it's sort of like the cafeteria at Colgate or wherever they went, or Peppermint College, wherever they went, and where you didn't have to order anything. Of course, it was a college cafeteria. So today, everywhere they go is sort of an extension of that. So they walk out in front of a moving car. They expect you to stop because on a campus, there are no cars. On a campus, you can ride a bicycle upside down and naked. And so they ride their bicycles virtually upside down and naked into oncoming traffic. And if the mean cop says anything to them, why, they go to the ACLU. And if somebody looks at them wrong, why, they blow the whistle and all the girls come running out. Then they call DHS and Big Sis comes down and cracks down on the man who yelled at them. See, it's all a college campus in the contemporary world where liberalism, the mental disorder, has now become my good friend, she says, Savage. I just spent the weekend in San Francisco. It amazes me that you can live there. It's like living in the middle of the DNC, and it is. I noted that myself, walked around San Francisco with my dog, Teddy, and I noticed something. You know, I'm an observer of human nature, as all of us are. Anyone who's alive is observing everyone, no matter what they say. In other words, we're very judgmental. See, liberals say don't be judgmental, but they're judging you and your judgmentalism, aren't they? So we're all very judgmental. It's how we survive for 1 second on the earth. Unless we're judgmental, we're nothing. We're amoeba. So don't fall for that trick. Oh, don't be judgmental. They're judging you, saying you're judgmental, right? So that's judgmentalism. Therefore, they're just trying to trick you in a logical trap. So I'm extremely judgmental. I'm an old type of guy, you know what I'm saying? I judge everything. I look at everything. That's why I was a good biologist and a good botanist, because I observe things. See, observation is judgmentalism. Self-analysis is judgmentalism. Deciding what to eat or what not to eat is judgmentalism. Without judgment, you know what you are? A Democrat. That's what you are. So I walk around the streets of San Francisco and I see people all trying to be crazier than they already are. They dress crazier than they already might. They dress in rags. And probably the most poorly dressed people in America are in a major city or in San Francisco. The mores of this city are such that if you come here half as a halfwit, within 3 months, you become a quarter wit. What you do is you make yourself look uglier and you act stupider than you already are. So you jaywalk in front of a car. You spill coffee on yourself. You talk to yourself in the street like you have a phone in your head. Everybody tries to outdo themselves with idiocy because the society has made some decision somewhere, at least amongst this class of losers, that success is a crime. That being well-groomed is a sign of evil. Speaking politely is a sign of idiocy. And so they do the opposite. It's a society that prides itself on being a loser. And so everybody, you see, this is what happens. If you tell a child who's misbehaving, that's okay, Johnny, do whatever you want, the child will become worse. If, on the other hand, you don't hit the child, you say, hey, look, Johnny, let me explain something. This is not the way you behave. This is the way you behave. It's like a tree is growing. What you want to do, if you know anything about growing trees, is you put stakes in the ground and you attach wires and you attach rubberized holders around the tree till it gets its roots to make sure it grows straight. It's the same with a child. The mother and the father are the two poles on the side of that child. And you have to make sure the child grows straight. If you raise that child, as liberals do, not as parents but as the child's friend, the child will grow up crooked. It doesn't know which way to grow. So if it tends to lean to the left, it'll bend over to the left. It might fall over before it even reaches maturity because it never, ever set roots down into the ground. Same thing with the children of this country. I'm looking around the city, and what I see is an entire city filled with the Spock generation. They've grown up. And they grew up on the ethos of, if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? So you get these putz morons on Friday nights. 10,000 of them take out bicycles to block traffic. No one throws their bicycles in the bay. Nobody arrests them. They gave it a name, critical mass. What are they? Spoiled brats, should be arrested, bicycle seized. But no, the city fathers and mothers don't exist. You have the same thing running the city as you have ruining the city. That's one example. But wherever you turn, you see the same mentality. If you feel like breaking a window at Bank of America, break the window. If you feel like spitting at somebody, spit at somebody. If you feel like cursing God, curse God. If you feel like hurting somebody, well, then run into them with a bicycle and say, whoops, because the judge will let you off.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation.
The sea, somewhere waiting for me.
Playing a little Bobby Darin, one of my favorite tunes for some reason. Particularly today, I'm in the mood because it's the weekend, the bay, boating, a little bit of boat, a little water, the seagulls, the hatchlings, the herons, the pelican brief, flap less, coast more, whatever. Let's go to the call. Let's go to the callers on let's start in Boston. I haven't heard from Boston. WRKO. That's like a signature station. It's like WOR. WRKO, Boston, Massachusetts. Phil, you're on the Savage Nation. Phil, what's on your mind?
Mike, you successfully invaded the psyche of the liberal elite. A week ago, Obama said Mitt Romney's economic plan is trickle-down, get it, trickle-down fairy dust.
Clinton, trickle down. Oh, he took it from me, huh? Trickle down fairy dust.
It gets better, Mike. Clinton said we can't give the reins to someone who will double down on trickle down.
Now, here's oh, my God.
One, Mike. At the convention, Mayor Menino, we can all go back to the trickle down philosophy that Mitt Romney believes in. Now, there's another one, Mike. Deval Patrick, our governor, said, we place our hopes not in trickle-down fantasies, but in our values.
Wow.
You invaded the psyche of the liberal elite. They're running scared.
No, you don't think they read the book, though. Liberals don't read, do they? They just memorize sound bites. So somebody must have ripped off the trickle-down concept, which I didn't invent, but I turned it into tyranny. They don't want to hear the tyranny part because dear leader is engaging in it.
Mike, in this state, we pay for prisoners' sex change operations,
oh, yes.
Gay marriage, abortion.
Yes.
Those are Deval Patrick's values. They're not mine.
That's Nancy Pelosi's values, too, to pay for sex change operations for a prisoner so that he can have his human rights in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Phil, did you read Trickle Down Tyranny? If not, I'm sending you a free copy.
Absolutely. Send me one, Mike.
Yeah, give it to your mother-in-law. Maybe you can change it. Because, look, Phil, let me ask you. You lived in Boston your whole life?
Mike, since you got him running scared, put on Running Scared by Roy Orbison.
Are you a Bostonian by birth?
By birth. Irish by Catholic birth. And Democrat, and I have yet to vote for a Kennedy. I leave the names blank, Mike.
I know.
You're
a Democrat. You're a Democrat who listens to me and agrees with most of what I say.
I'm a conservative Democrat. I'm the biggest minority in this state.
Absolutely. I've said it 100 times. If JFK were alive, they wouldn't permit him in the Democrat Party of today because he's not a socialist like them. Phil, stay on the line. You're getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, The Real McCoy, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. What a great call. That's good. Remember what you learned today on the show. Probably the most important thing I've done all week. Your votes are being counted by a Spanish holding company owned by a socialist, a friend of George Soros in Spain. We've lost it, folks. The company is called SCYTL. You can read all about it on page 25 of Trickle Down Tyranny. Under the subhead, the most corrupt administration in history, Obama outsourced our voting. And if Mitt Romney doesn't say, but you outsourced the voting, he's finished. And I'll know he's in on the conspiracy.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You've got to hear some of the audio that we got for you today on the Savage Nation. Let's go back in time. Here is Obama himself in 1994 giving a lecture about values, which you're not going to believe. He says that the Republicans basically are Ozzie and Harriet values.
I'm disturbed about how we talk about values. I think values are critical. I think that's how you build communities. But I also think that the term values is an empty vessel. It doesn't mean anything on its own. Values have to be acted upon. They have to be tested. Values are dynamic. Dan Quayle talks about values in terms of Ozzie and Harriet values. I think the values that they see on TV, and my wife, who's an attorney, she likes to watch old TV reruns, and so she watches Dick Van Dyke Show and Ozzie and Harriet and things like that. And I'm always struck by the values that are embodied in these television shows, which I think are the values that people have in mind when they talk about return to American values. The wife is at home. She's not working. You know, dad's got his 9-to-5. There are no African Americans in these family values. There's no discussion of poverty in these values.
Here is Nancy Pelosi on how important phone calls are from the Presidente.
When the President of the United States is having a conversation with the Speaker of the House and the leader in the Senate, or just the President and the Speaker, it's a formal situation. It's history. Every call is history. Mostly I clear the room when I'm talking to the President. I don't want anybody to hear one side of a conversation. I clear the room and I take notes. And then we have a conversation.
Here's what Pelosi thinks about Harry Reid, the angry white male.
The President's not a person who's long on the phone. And Harry Reid is probably, when he's finished, it's over. He stops listening long before you stop talking.
Even Code Pinko went after her. Here is the maniac, former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, going insane at the convention.
Sure, sure. Mitt Romney loves our lakes and our trees. He loves our cars so much they even have their own elevator. In Romney's world, the cars get the elevator and the workers get the shaft. Sure, he's laid a lot of money. Good for him. Good for him. Or maybe I should say, good for him.
President Obama, with the auto rescue, you know, he saved more than 1 million American jobs. But it wasn't just Michigan. Hey, hey, hey. In Florida, 35,000 jobs. In Ohio, 150,000 jobs. Autos are back. Manufacturing is rebounding. And on your ballot, the D is for drive forward. The R is for reverse. In this election, we are driving forward, not back. Let's re-elect our great president, Barack Obama.
Of course, when Biden speaks, we listen. Or at least we have a chuckle. He's sort of the grandfather that nobody ever wanted. He's ready for the curtain and the chair.
I tell you what, it was worth the trip to hear my wife say what I've never heard her say before. She's always loved me. If that's the case, why in the heck did it take five times of asking you? And that's true, five times. I don't know what it would have done, kiddo, had you on that fifth time said no. I love you. You're the love of my life and the life of my love. The president understood this was about a lot more than the audible ministry. This was about restoring America's pride. He intuitively understood the message it would have sent around the world if the United States gave up on an industry that helped put America on the map in the first place. He also knew the message we had to send around the world. If you attack innocent Americans, we will follow you to the end of the earth.
Here's a little bit from Obama's actual speech, talking about himself.
I know campaigns can seem small, even silly sometimes. Trivial things become big distractions. Serious issues become sound bites. The truth gets buried under an avalanche of money and advertising. Now, I won't pretend the path I'm offering is quick or easy. I never have. You didn't elect me to tell you what you wanted to hear. You elected me to tell you the truth. We don't think that government can solve all of our problems, but we don't think that the government is the source of all of our problems any more than our welfare recipients or corporations or unions or immigrants or gays or any other group we're told to blame for our troubles.
What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Well, let's take a look together and see. MichaelSavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture reign supreme. Obama's cold leftovers from 2008, hard to swallow in 2012, says Charles Hurt. Lowest workforce participation since 1981. The unemployment rate is very, very high. If you want to watch a maniac at work, see the former governor of Michigan screaming, cavorting, and making a fool of herself on stage. It looks like she was off her meds. In the Carmel pine cone, Eastwood says his RNC appearance was a mission accomplished. I was aiming for people in the middle. Go, Clint, go. Never mind what the left-wing blogosphere says. They're all jealous losers. Putin, Russian communist chief, loves Obama, dislikes Romney. Case closed. What more do you need to know? Communist chief loves Obama, dislikes Romney. Put two and two together. Dems, dear leader, plotting our grim future, says Michael Goodwin of the New York Post, the best article of the week. Former Treasury Secretary falls into a pool at DNC party. I guess that was Rubin. He fell in the pool. Was he fishing? Illegal alien speaks at DNC. No. Colorado girl recovering from bubonic plague. The disease that wiped out one-third of Europe in the 14th century is back. It's back. Savage says the Democrat rejection of God is the turning point. Whatever happened about the DNC delegate from Puerto Rico who wants to kill Romney? Well, that was hushed up. It was just a shenanigan of an impassioned Hispanic woman from Puerto Rico. See, she's not a returning veteran or a Christian who's against abortion. Top Democrat says Christians want Jews slaughtered, moron. Vote black buttons were all over the convention hall. Did it make it to NBC? Well, Brokaw was on Ambien. How would he know? Bhagwan Sri Obama. Remember I said Bhagwan Sri Obama is leading a Democrat cult? Well, didn't the convention tell you that? All he had to do was put his hands in front of his face and bow. And have everyone bow down to Reverend Sun Moon Obama. America's ugliest mansions, if you want to see that. The river turned red in China. Well, that's fitting, I guess. Michael and his high school rifle team from my forthcoming book, Train Tracks, October 2012, HarperCollins. Buy it now on Amazon. Here's my latest MichaelSavage.com newsletter, which you can get for free by going to my website. The Republicans are the party of God and free markets. I watched the Democrats put God to a vote. That's right. They put God to a vote. I am a God-fearing man, Savage observed. And I've said that such hubris actually makes the voters' choice in November clearer than ever before. Those boos we heard in the hall were very loud and very vocal. Those people were booing because the Democrats included God in language about Jerusalem as the capital of Israel in their platform. As you can hear, most of the delegates hate Israel and hate God. If you actually analyze what you're listening to, you're watching a battle for the soul of America. There's no question that the Republicans represent the party of God and the party of the free market. The Democrats represent what we saw in the ex-Soviet Union, a party of anti-God and government control of all markets. Can you imagine that at this point in American history, a nation founded on the principles of God is being taken over by a party that despises God and denies God's existence and wants to stab Israel in the back in order to support the Islamists who would kill the Jews and drive them out of the Middle East? This is how clear this election is. It's a vote between those who believe in God and believe we should support the Jews in Israel, despite their many blemishes, over the Islamist beheaders. It's that simple. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Back to the third largest radio show in the United States of America, no matter what you may have heard. Welcome back to the to the best-selling author Michael Savage, no matter what you may have heard. Welcome back to the fact that in the last 2 years I've had three best-selling books, no matter what you may have heard. Trickle Up Poverty, bestseller many weeks in the New York Times. Trickle Down Tyranny, bestseller many weeks. My novel, I'm a novelist as well. Abuse of Power, bestseller. New novel coming out in the spring, no matter what you may have heard. I guess you can't keep a good man down. I mean, you can take Winston Churchill's bust and you could melt it down, but it doesn't really take away the fact that Winston Churchill saved Western civilization, at least saved Britain from destruction by the Hun. I mean, he was a man who saw what was going on. You can't take that away from him, even though Obama melted his bust down. Winston Churchill is still remembered as a great man, and long after Obama is gone and forgotten as the worst president in the history of this republic, the world will still remember the greatness of Winston Churchill. Obama will be seen as a blip on the screen of what happens to a country when people go to sleep and when the media is owned by the government. And when you have a government media complex that is no longer functioning as it should function, virtually anyone can become president and do almost anything that they want to the nation. At least that's how I see it. Well, let's not do the music again. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers. Howard in Boston on WRKO. You're on the Savage Nation.
I've spent a great deal of time in Russia, Michael, and it appears between Moscow and St. Petersburg, a number of shuttles between, and it appears we're on the same path. You're right on the money. In Russia, the Duma anoints the oligarchs. It appears in our Congress is anointing the very rich. It makes no difference. And it's unfortunate.
That's
that the
right.
Public is
That's
so
right. Exactly. It's exactly the USS of A. I've been trying to warn America, alert America. Obama didn't come out of nowhere. He was handpicked. Obama is actually following the script he was given for converting us into a USS of A. He's doing it. He's gotten away with virtually everything he's done, which is absolutely out of the realm of the Constitution. And he gets away with it because the media is compliant. Don't you agree with me? Or complicit, rather.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate, but when I was in Russia, the very rich are getting richer, again, thanks to the Duma. While here in this country, the very well-to-do insiders are being richer, made greater wealth by the Congress and their lobbyists.
How do you explain that congresspeople and senators have had their wealth expand by tenfold in some cases, and there's no investigation of the contracts that they've steered to their spouses? How is that possible?
Because the American public just got their heads in the sand and rather spend their time.
No, it's because I blame the journalists. They have gone to sleep. Instead of covering the corruption, you know, every night I go to sleep saying, where is Elliot Ness? I grew up in another time when there was a man who came in, like from the FBI, who actually went after the untouchables. Right now, the untouchables are in the government. They're not in organized crime. The untouchables are the government themselves. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Absolutely. So it's no different here as it is in Russia today. And that's what's scaring the hell out of me.
But I'm saying, where's the Elliot Ness? When are we going to have the gangbuster squad arrive to start looking into various and sundry senators and congressmen who have made 10 to 15 to 20 times more money than the families ever had while they were in office by steering contracts, grants, and loans to their spouses? When is this going to be investigated?
Well, not until the media wakes up and informs the American public. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Here's the problem. The media doesn't care what the American public thinks. They've been running bankrupt entities for 10 years now. Take the San Francisco Chronicle. When I first came here in 74, the Chronicle and Examiner were mediocre but decent papers. They were like a B-. But they used to do investigative reporting on various scandals in government. They've ceased doing it. They're losing $1 million a week. It doesn't matter to them because it's other people's money, and the corporate chiefs who own it don't care. They don't want the investigation because they've been either compromised, bought off, or gotten favors from the very same members of Congress who should be investigated.
Savage.
+1 800 449 8255. Any call is fair game. What's this $1 billion verdict? Samsung ripped off Apple. I don't know what it means to me. Nothing. I don't own an Apple product. I grow apples on my trees in my orchard. I will tell you that. I have too many apples. They're beautiful, pink and green apples. I don't know what to do with them, but I don't know. I don't grow any Samsungs on my trees. I grow apples on my Does that matter to the average person? That means Apple stock's going to tumble, right? That's all that means? Apple was just up. Now someone's going to get hammered? That's why it went up. What do you mean Apple wins $1 billion? As jury finds Sam, Apple wins $1 billion as jury finds Samsung violated patents. Oh, it's going to go up. So that means those who were betting on Apple over the last few days knew this was coming down. It means the corrupt judge was bought out and told them in advance what was coming. Da, 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 da. Yeah, so in other words, all those who invested in Apple over the last few days and that you saw it going up, they were already steered by the corrupt Wall Streeters from the corrupt judges in the U.S. of A. It's enough already. I think I'll get a headache from it. No, I love the music. It's fantastic. I love it. 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 Oh, God. When are they going to start voting by? When are they going to start voting by the internet already? We all know he's been picked. We know that Obama's picked. Let's have the election already. What is this nonsense? You know, we keep hearing about the poor like anyone cares about them. No one cares about the poor. No one ever has cared about the poor. The only people who talk about it are the demagogues who need their vote. That's all. Who cares about the poor? When has Bloomberg last had the poor to dinner in the Gracie Mansion? Has Bloomberg ever had homeless people brought in from the gutters to have a Jeroboam of Bordeaux? I don't think so. I don't think Bloomberg's had them in for a Slurpee, frankly. I don't think Bloomberg would even give them cans of mother's milk in Gracie Mansion. And yet he talks about them like he personally likes them. New Orleans, Christy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
When I listened to you over the past 2 months, I noticed that you really seem to be on fire. And it's like my mind is running a mental obstacle course. And I was wishing that you would post something about your nutritional regimen online so that the rest of us could benefit.
Oh, you mean where do I get my energy from?
Yeah, over the past 2 months, it's incredible. I mean, it's hard keeping up with you because you jump from one thing to the other, but it all makes sense and blends together, and it's very funny. I've been laughing my head off a lot the last couple of months.
Well, may as well laugh your way to the gallows. That's fun. That's always a good thing to do.
Well, that could happen.
I'm not going to give away my secrets because it's not just based on nutrition. I am taking a new supplement that's got me through the roof. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I may market it. But my fingertips have turned orangey red from the circulation. Every arteriole in my body is now circulating, pumping with blood. I mean, they always had blood in them, obviously, or I would have had gangrene. But we're talking about new volumes of blood running into because of certain vitamins that I've rediscovered. I used to take these 20 years ago, especially when I got into like a down mood. I don't take antidepressants, and I get really angsty and depressed a lot, but I never let it become a medical condition. I don't give into it. Because, you see, I explained this. Who did I explain this to the other day? I showed a doctor. Oh, I showed a psychiatrist. Well, who did I show it to? I don't know who I showed it to. Someone in the mental health professions. A tide chart, given that I'm a boater. And I showed, you see how there are four tides a day, too high, too low? And he looked at me, he said, that's interesting. I said, well, the human being is the same. I said, we're not a flat line. The psychiatric profession wants people to believe they're supposed to be on an even keel all the time. It's not the human condition. The human condition is up and down and up and down, but not in the same exact sine curve every day, depending upon various factors, including the moon, by the way. Yes, you are affected by the moon, whether you know it or not, you are affected by the moon the same way. If the oceans can be affected by the moon, why can you not be affected by the movement of celestial bodies? Explain that to me. Well, you're more powerful than the Atlantic Ocean? You're not, which is why you fluctuate in your emotions. You're supposed to fluctuate in your emotions. That means you're alive. When you're not fluctuating in your emotions, it means that you're kind of dead emotionally and you're feeling nothing, which is where a lot of people go. You understand? That's where a lot of people go. They don't want to feel anything anymore. They can't take the heats they get out of the kitchen. I've always thrived on the ups and downs, the highs, the lows. I remember being a kid, I've talked about it, that I would sit in school, and I remember my mother, God bless her, we didn't have a lot of money, but she bought me a blue suit, and so because I had the only suit in the Bronx at that time, I think, other than those who were run over by a bus, they had to buy him a suit. I had the only suit for any living boy in the Bronx. In that year, they made me the announcer in the auditorium. I remember being 6 years old or 5 years old in the first grade. Already they made me the announcer. And I remember getting up in front of the audience and they said, well, you're going to be the announcer. I said, why? They said, because you have a blue suit. No one else has one. So they put me in front of the audience. Now, to this day, I can remember the faces, you know, like staring at me like, oh, my God, now what? And I found that I had the capacity to talk to audiences because they threw me out there. It's like throwing a guy out of an airplane with a parachute. Either he pulls the cord or he dies. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. You ever throw a dog in water when he's a baby? Oh, you can't do it today. But most dogs can swim. It's an instinct. And some people have an instinct for public speaking. Some don't. Some very brave men would rather face down a killer with a gun than get up in front of an audience and talk. Do you know that? I've met shy men who are immensely powerful and brave, incidentally. Doesn't mean I'm more brave than the other guy. I've just had the ability to talk to an audience. So I don't even know what I was getting to. $1 billion. Well, the point is that here it is, a number of decades later, and I'm still talking to an audience. Unfortunately for me, America has changed, and everything I was warned about communism in the 50s has come to pass. Everything I was told would happen when communists took over America has happened. But it didn't start with Obama, mind you. See, this is the funny part. It started with Nixon when he took us off the gold standard. I know you don't want to believe this. I remember writing this when Nixon was president in my journal. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. Actually, keep a journal. Had one. I don't keep them anymore because the radio show has become an open journal for me. But going back, oh, I don't know, forever, I have boxes of these incredibly well-written journals and beautiful books, handwritten. Maybe I'll auction them off one day. Or, I don't know what I'll do with them. Feed them to the seagulls. I don't know, whatever. I remember when Nixon was president that I was apolitical. I wasn't a Democrat or Republican. I was just an American struggling like most Americans. And I said, wait a minute, he's taken us off the gold standard. He's opened up trade with Russia. And I said, wait a minute, I said, with China. I said, everything I was told would happen when communists took over America has happened under Nixon. Now, I know it was considered politically insane at the time because he was so-called, he was a so-called conservative, but little did I know that he was not really a conservative. He was just simply a tool of the giant structure that we are dealing with today, who is going to steer us into something we don't even want to go into. It's happening. It's not going to happen. We're already 60 to 65 to 70% there, whether or not you want it to have happened. It has happened. And you can't say it can't happen here because it already has happened here. And on that note, I'll take a quick We are playing the music of the dead white male. Pacello. Milcare Pacelli. Love it. Love it. Love it or leave it. We are celebrating the last remains of Western civilization in the waning days of the year 2012, while we still can, before it becomes, well, illegal to do so, because there's no question in January 2013, while it might not become illegal to listen to such music, it could be considered very, very politically, well, embarrassing to listen to it. You may have to listen to it in a closet somewhere or behind closed doors for fear that the government may find out that you're listening to this type of music. You should be listening to American music, multicultural music, music where there's monosyllabic content, music where there's, well, very few instruments so that the average person living here today can keep up with it. Simple tunes, popular tunes, tunes that make people happy, things they can sing while they're on crack or things they can remember while they're stoned on medical marijuana. That's the kind of music that you want in after 2013. Music that you cannot vote by. That's the important thing. Certainly not think. I believe that thinking itself should be considered suspect, and I think that anyone who engages in too much thinking in the year 2014 might have to be investigated by the New American Psychiatric Association. It could enter the DMSA, anyone who thinks too much. I think it could be a diagnostic, a condition. Certainly there's an argument to be made that anyone who thinks too much is mentally deranged in a society where there is no thinking. Anyone who analyzes when they're not being paid to analyze, I mean, isn't that some kind of tic? Isn't that an OCD or something like that? Thought, overthought correctionism? Or it's something to be thinking about because there is medication to help you. If your mind races, you should understand that although Darwin's mind raced and many other famous people had what was known as swimming mindedness, that's because they lived at a time before the American Psychiatric Association. Before we had such superior medications that men like Darwin wouldn't have to think so much and be in such pain. The important thing to remember is that there's help. All you've got to do is reach out for it. Just reach out to the medical establishment. And then you won't suffer the pain that that Marine suffered the other day who wrote those horrible things about big government on his Facebook page. Look what happened to him. I mean, he wrote things about big government not being what he wanted. And the next thing he knew, he was being arrested by the FBI and local police, handcuffed and thrown into a mental hospital. Because that's the way it should be in the new Soviet America. At least that's the way it was in the Soviet Union. And while we're not there yet, after 2013, that may become the norm rather than the exception. And, of course, the right-wing group, the Rutherford Group, the Rutherford Institute that intervened and got this Marine out of prison, although they have a right to do so now, they should have no right to do so. We should have no such right-wing civil rights organizations. In fact, by definition, civil rights must be controlled only by the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're the only group that should be trusted in America to define what is civil and what is right. I mean, any other group that defines it is by definition suspect. And therefore, you have to rely upon the government to tell you what is civil and what is right. Certainly, right-wingers have no place in the discussion. Only left-wingers know what's civil and what is right. Yeah, so a little B6 goes a long way, and I'll tell you that. A little folic acid goes a longer way, and a lot of B12 goes a longer way, right into every arteriole in your brain. Yep, there we are. See, so anyone who doesn't see big government the way big government sees it will soon become an enemy of the state. Let's go to the callers. Anna in Connecticut, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you're in prime form. I want to congratulate you on an exciting, excellent, fantastic show with a brilliant, powerful, and classic analogy and the music. I hope you don't mind. I grew up in Italy, so in Italy we say Amilcare Punchielli. Because
yes, I'm sorry. I'm so bad at pronouncing Italian. I can't even say pasta correctly.
But you are fantastic. I love your show.
Say again in Italian, Amilcare
Punchielli.
Punchielli, and I butchered it. I call it Amilcare Punchielli. Isn't that terrible?
No, that's funny.
That's funny.
You're doing very well. I love your show.
Thank you. Classical audience on the Savage Nation. By the way, it comes from the opera La Gioconda. You probably know this piece because it was popularized in Walt Disney's Fantasia back in 1940. And yet, when I hear it, I love it. More music from the Dead White Males right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Today we are celebrating the great genius of an Italian composer. And, of course, I'm giving you my observations of the world, the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage, if you'd like to put it that way. Went to an Indian buffet, and it's going broke because although the buffet owners are Indian and immigrants themselves, there's another generation or another wave of immigrants who don't have the same sensibilities, and they're eating them out of house and home. The plates are piling up with bones, and no one says anything to them. No one will say three visits to the chicken bin or whatever, because the others, the gardeners, I figure if it says all you can eat, it's all I can eat, you know what I mean? And I said, that's like America itself. We're like a giant all-you-can-eat buffet, and there are certain immigrant groups who are feasting at the buffet, not paying their fair share, and they're driving us into the poorhouse. I thought it was a very good analogy, and you have to understand from where I'm coming in order to understand it. I don't blame the gardeners for eating the Indians out of house and home in that buffet. If the Indian won't put up a sign, say, two visits to the chicken bin is the maximum limit, they're going to visit it 10 times, which they did. I had a plate of food. I swear to God, while I was sitting there, I watched that guy, the gardeners, go back four times for four helpings of lamb and chicken. You say, well, it's not your business. What is my business? I'm a social observer, if I'm anything. My job is to be a social observer, and sometimes you can learn things from a buffet that you can't learn from Harvard University, incidentally, nor from eating at Gracie Mansion too many times. As I say sarcastically, semi-sarcastically, the reason Obama threw out the bust of Churchill when he seized the White House was obviously for a number of reasons. You can read almost anything into it that you wish. But I would think that the same, if he should win a second term, God forbid, I think that that would be the time for the Obama administration. I think it would be at that point that they should ban the music of all European male composers from the 19th century and prior to that. And the reason is that it makes some people uncomfortable. After all, it's very complicated, and it's it's unnecessarily complicated. Too many instruments, for example. That's number one. The storyline is not something that a multicultural society can accept readily. This is a product of a racist time in world history. When Italians were Italians, for example, something as primitive as that. French were French. Lithuanians were Lithuanian. English were from England. That's another time. This is a new time. And in the new age where there's a sort of melange of all cultures and all peoples and everyone's equal, you don't want to upset people with the music of Bach, Beethoven, Wagner, Ponchielli, Puccini. You don't want to upset them. And I think at that point, it would make sense for the new USS of A to eliminate all of the music that had come before this period of time in order to make certain that we all get along and so that we can then put statues of Rodney King in our homes. Because after all, he was the great man who said, why can't we all get along? And I think that that statement, although it's simplistic in some ways, certainly has more texture to it, more innuendo, more depth than anything ever written by, let's say, an American philosopher. And so, therefore, why can't we all get along? Should become, I think we should all have a mandatory requirement to buy a bust of Rodney King, which we must have in our living rooms. And then, of course, at that point, Obama could arm the Black Panthers, and they could go into everyone's home and make sure there's a bust of Rodney King. And if you don't have a bust of Rodney King, you get busted. And then you get put away like the U.S. Marine who just got put into a mental hospital for daring to put on his own Facebook page comments about a big government that he objected to. And I think a sane government should follow the path of the ex-Soviet Union in the 50s. Well, that's why they put the Marine in a mental hospital. He didn't actually commit a crime, but he was mentally disturbed because anyone who doesn't love big government is by definition mentally deranged. Just as our Russian friends taught us in the 50s, anyone who didn't love socialism must have been mentally ill. And so they put them in psychiatric hospitals where the bugs with MDs shot them up with drugs, put them in straitjackets, anyone who objected. And 20 million people were worked to death or killed in the ex-Soviet Union because they were obviously defective and could not conform to a big government society. And so there's a reason to see why they put this Marine in a mental hospital. And, you know, I mean, that the judge finally released him as a result of the work of the Rutherford Institute is just an example of what the right wingers, the level to which right wingers will fall in order to release dangerous, crazed people. I mean, if we didn't have these right wingers in America going to bat for guys like the U.S. Marine, the country would be a safer place, wouldn't it? We'd have people who love big government and people who receive checks from the government. What's the difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters? And I, Michael Savage, had the audacity to say that Romney supporters signed the check on the